group of friends, hearing and telling one another a story for which they can barely find words. Like bedtime stories and old family lore, we share our relationships and stories in those relationships close and safe, so that we will be equipped to boldly share the story of Jesus in the world. I hope that you in these days at home are sharing the stories of your history and faith with those whom you love and are maintaining connections with your friends. In the future, I hope that we are able to continue this closeness and these connections, and that we will also be able to move to sharing togetherness in our homes and eventually in this church and out in the world more boldly once again. Christ is made known when we offer parts of ourselves to one another in community. Easter is a revelation of who God really is and what God really wants out of us and the world. Easter is true. So what should we do now? I hope by the end of the message today that you'll have some thoughts and answers to this swirling around in your head and your heart, and that your curiosity will be piqued to go and learn more. I am optimistic that after today, you will take time to listen and be in conversation with God about where do we go from here. Let us pray. Graceful God, allow us to see the implications of Jesus' resurrection, your presence with us, your victory to encourage us, your summons to empower us. Then in your grace, give us the courage to follow where you lead us. Enlist us on the side of life against the powers of death. Lead us to live in the light of your victory. Make us your vital Easter people. Open our hearts and minds to hear what you would say to us today. Amen. We didn't just become an Easter people by chance. The gift was there from God. But we have had to make the choice to receive the wonderful gift that God has given us. The scripture today is telling us about the indescribable hope and joy that we experience when we believe. But we have to choose to believe what we cannot see. As we live in response to the old yet ever new resurrection story, may we be aware of the places we are being called to extend the grace and joy of Jesus with another. We are living hope. In writing to Christians who face trials, persecutions, and difficulties, the writer of 1 Peter reminds them that they have been birthed into a living hope. So Christians live in circumstances identical to those of unbelievers in the world, but Christians' life view and perspective are qualitatively different because of this living hope, a hope not of the world. The resurrection gives that difference to us. Christians rejoice in this life, although we may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. We can rest on a promise given to us that there is protection in this life. Because we are protected by the power of God, we can be released from fear and anxiety. We reside in that protective power of God. We too often lose sight that our attitude and demeanor, strengthened by faith during trials and difficulties, reveal Christ to unbelievers and bring praise to God. No matter our life circumstances, trials will come along that will challenge our faith. Those trials may come because of our witness, the kind of trials Peter is addressing, or they may become an occasion for our witness. Physicians and psychologists who have worked with and studied critically ill patients Note the healing and sustaining benefits of having a belief in something beyond the present reality. Hope enables the sufferer to endure and sometimes even overcome physical and emotional suffering. As followers of the resurrected Christ, we have been given a living hope that will enable us to endure whatever we experience. It's our job to show in word and deed that God has entered human history and is continuously working to have God's purposes defeat our sin and evil. Resurrection continues. So still go out after worship so you don't miss the sermon, into the yard, parking lot, wherever, and shout, "He is risen," because we have to tell somebody our story. By the grace of God, has a happy ending. Jesus Christ is not only raised, but now rules. We must not waver in our declaration that something wonderful and wondrous did indeed happen. The author, writing under the name of Peter, addresses a group of Christian communities scattered throughout Asia Minor who are experiencing a similar kind of disappointment in the closing decades of the first century. Enough time had passed since Jesus' resurrection that they realized his promised return would not be as quickly as they had hoped. Instead, they were forced to figure out how to live out their Christian faith day by day, letting go of neither their hope nor their expectation of Christ's reappearance, while realizing that they were in this race of faith for the long haul. Peter's words encouraged them in their formation of true Christian community and in their pursuit of faithful witness to the surrounding cultures. What does it mean to live as an Easter people? What does it mean to profess Christian faith decades, even centuries removed from the resurrection? What does it mean to continue to believe in Christ and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy when we might be mocked or ignored for our efforts? For me personally, that means that our family gives a glimpse of living hope to children and families by being foster parents and foster siblings. This month of April is Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month. It is why you see blue pinwheels planted near businesses and homes. If you've used up all of your crafting items and cleaned every nook and cranny in your home, and you're wondering about what to do next, I invite you to spend some time dreaming, praying, learning, and working on behalf of the children. Let me tell you a bit more. Recently, I learned from our conference superintendent that the bishop has made an initiative for us as the United Methodist Church in Indiana that in 2021, children matter most. Bishop Trimble has commissioned a task force to help churches make children a priority. I thought it was timely to learn about this goal in April. The number of children in Indiana that are food insecure, in poverty, and in foster care are startling. Part of this year's annual conference offering that has now been moved to two separate dates in August and October will go toward this initiative to make a difference in the lives of children in Indiana. Bishop Trimble is really good at living out his life as a disciple of Jesus and is a great example for us today. He is someone that is an advocate for others. Advocacy is using our lips and legs to help someone else. It's walking and praying, protesting and worshiping. It's speaking, intervening, standing for, organizing, and witnessing. Learning how we go about advocacy for others, including children, takes more time than I have in a sermon, but it is something I'd like us to learn more about together. There are strategies that are fairly easy to implement, while at the same time have a strong potential for creating a climate for action and change. I hope that you will walk with me on a journey to learn more about how we can learn about what is happening in particular areas of concern so that we can share information with others, recruit them to take action, and then train and nurture them to become leaders who recruit others to take action. This church does a lot to serve the children, from having a ministry in our building of childcare and preschool, to providing space for communities and schools to organize and distribute food to families in need, to being study and lunch buddies, and serving with the Boys and Girls Club. The list goes on and on. We have seen so many lives touched. I dream about how we can make even more of a difference in the lives of children, families, and systems if we also learn more from each other about being advocates for children, youth, and families. It is something I hope you will pray about, seek to learn more about, and be in discussion with me and others about, especially during this month of April. In regards to children, what do we do while we wait for Jesus? We continue to live life as his disciples. But just like the followers of his time, we also have questions about what this involves. How do we follow Jesus in this and other issues relating to children? What can we learn from the current issues regarding children? And how do we grow in faith as we address them? Where does Scripture relate to these issues? Where do we see Jesus leading us through them? How can each one of us, as child advocates, make a difference and take an action to better the lives of a child? What gifts do we have to share to make a difference in the lives of children? Discipleship involves constant learning and growth in faith. For example, discerning a solution to a child's need and taking action toward that solution is one step of a journey, and much will be learned along the way. Discipleship means doing what Jesus would have done. Maybe you've put a child first. Maybe you've made a difference by mentoring a child. And maybe you've taken political action on behalf of children. Child advocacy is discipleship, and it will transform the world as it makes a difference for even one child. As disciples of Jesus Christ, it is our mandate, our mission to transform the world. We must continue to spread the good news. Discipleship is personal faith and good deeds, but it is also so much more. We are able to perform acts of mercy and work for justice. Jesus taught his disciples to touch, heal, and bless children and their families, and we are to carry out these mandates in our churches, communities, and the world. As United Methodists, our Wesleyan heritage also calls us to the task of integrating justice, kindness, and humility. Our social principles require specific attention and action on behalf of all children and youth, especially those who are vulnerable, in pain, alone, lost, or otherwise marginalized. Our good deeds, acts of mercy, may include giving to special offerings, putting together school kits, and donating food. For many of us, these good deeds come naturally. Acts of justice seem to be harder to do at times. Acts of justice involve immersing ourselves in the legislative process, addressing community issues such as housing, education, health care, hunger, safety, or taxes. Not only do we need to treat the symptoms, but we also need to act on the hard questions, like, why are there so many children in our school who do not read well? What can we do to make education funding more equitable across the state? Questions like these encompass a complex mix of public opinion, legislative policy, and community practice. They are also at the heart of Christian discipleship. Our acts of kindness and our work for justice are to be carried out as spiritual disciplines. listening to the voice of God, another spiritual discipline, requires that we examine individually and corporately our longhand beliefs and practices in matters of faith and discipleship. Are you familiar with verse 8 from the book of Micah, chapter 6? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. The spiritual discipline of walking humbly with God means that we examine all public policies and community developments in light of our Christian faith. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah and declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus' good news addresses the maladies and systems that constrain human beings and offers instead opportunities for growth and freedom. John Wesley set an example for us in his life and ministry. We see in his life the interconnectedness of individual faith and social action. Wesley preached personal salvation to people of all stations across England, and at the same time set up sewing cooperatives for poor women, established schools for children living in poverty, and visited men and women in prison. We recognize that our commitment to Christ, our discipleship, requires more than acts of mercy. We are to welcome and bless, to reach out and to receive. Without the resurrection, we are without hope. With the resurrection, through all the difficulties of life, we can go on because we know the end of the story. That end is in the hands of the God who raised, crucified Jesus from the dead. Without the resurrection, we have nothing to say to a hurting, unsteady world. With the resurrection, we have good news. Say that good news in all that you do. Become an embodiment of the hope and new life that Easter offers. What has been said to us, I say to you, so that you might say it to all, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.